Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. We'll read verses 4 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Verses 4 through 10. Again, I considered all the travail and every right work, that for this is a man is envied of his neighbor. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. A fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is an handful with quietness than both of the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor? And bereaveth my soul of good. This also is vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. And let's finish on verse 10 together. Ready? For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, what a wonderful thing. Lord, I know there are places all over this globe and even in our own country where people would like one time to go to church and know that your presence is there. And we're kind of spoiled because your presence is always here. Lord, you seem to smile upon us and upon our property and upon our people. Father, though you've done all that, we're still sinful and we still need you. The Holy Spirit of God, please use our preacher. Fill him with your power. Change our hearts and our lives so we could go out and help as many people as possible, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight's sermon is preached to those people who have disappointed themselves. Not only have they disappointed themselves, they've disappointed others, and they've disappointed God. Let me say to all of us, anything that somebody else has done, we are capable of. I call the sermon tonight, Somebody, Please Help Me. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I can barely read those words. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Those words should break our hearts. Think about the loneliness in those words. When someone feels like there's nobody around, nobody cares, nobody's really interested. And folks, sometimes we can be surrounded by people, and yet we feel all alone. I don't want anybody around me to feel like they're all alone. You say, you talking about all the good Christians around here? I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about when they fall. Let me say to this entire congregation, I love you whether you're right with God or not. Now, I want you to be right with God. I want that for you. But let me tell you, if you fall, I don't want you to think you're alone. I want the people around me to know that I'm going to help them. I want them to think, well, Brother Owens won't forsake me. I don't give up on people. I was a young preacher, I think, yet in my teenage years, and I went to a nursing home to preach one day. Walking down the hallway, getting ready to gather a crowd to take them to an assembly room so that I could preach, I could hear someone faintly crying. Now, if you've ever been to a nursing home, you would know that that would not be uncommon. I walked back down the very same hallway, and I could hear someone say, I think they said, somebody please help me. Help me. Somebody please help me. Well, sometimes in the nursing home, people are, their minds have begun to slip, and if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. They'll cry out, you go and check on them, and they're fine. So I thought nothing of it. I began to gather some of the tenants for a service, and I heard that faint cry again. Somebody help me. Help me. Somebody help me. So I traced the sound. I glanced into a room, and I seen a feeble hand that was, all I could see was a hand. The bed blocked me from seeing anything else. I seen a hand that had grabbed a hold of the sheet on top of a bed. And then I heard it. Somebody help me. Please help me. I walked around, and there was a lady, probably 90 years of age, who had fallen out of her bed. Her bedpan had spilled all over her. She was hurt and humiliated. And I walked over and I said, ma'am, I'll help you. She said, oh, you're so well-dressed, you'll be messy. I said, oh, no, ma'am, it won't be messy for me to help you. I helped her. She was scared. I tried to help restore some dignity before somebody else came into the room. May I say, the human race are a fallen people. And may I say, they're lying out there everywhere in the mess of the bedpan of life, and they need somebody to help them. Folks, what I'm about to say to you tonight, you need not. If you say, I don't need this tonight, then you'll need it someday. You'll need it someday. And if nothing else, could you please listen to me for the sake of other people? Because if you say, I see that, Brother Owens, I've got it all together. I've got everything someone would dream of. You may. But there are people out there who would say, somebody, please help me. You see, when people fall, nobody understands them as well as somebody who has fallen and gotten back up, or somebody that spends their life with fallen people. The honor of my life is having people to trust me and rebuild their lives when they fall. That's my ministry. And so you know, that's this church's ministry. Maybe tonight you have fallen into sin. Oh, maybe it's not deep sin. Now, just so you know, all sin's deep. Any sin against God is deep. But maybe you have fallen away from God, or maybe from where you used to be for God. You're backslidden. Or maybe you have fallen away from where you could have been for God because you've not been fulfilling your potential. Maybe tonight you're here and you're living in a very deeply backslidden way. I'd like to help you tonight. I want this church to be reminded. I want myself to be reminded. The ministry is not elaborate buildings. The ministry is helping people. The ministry, thank God for our beautiful buses, red, white, and blue, stars and stripes, impressive fleet of buses. I have to remind you something, folks. Those matching buses out there are not what the ministry is all about. It's all about helping people. Thank God for a beautiful wood gym floor over here in that big old gymnasium. But the ministry is not all about that gym. It's all about helping people. Having our bills paid on time, and we ought to do that. And if we have integrity, we will. And thank God we do. But I'll tell you what, money is not what the ministry is all about. It's all about helping people. Having a big Christian school, that's not what the ministry is all about. It's all about helping the fallen, helping people, owning lots of property. Church is just always trying to gain more property, and that's okay. They may do so. That's good. That's fine. But really, owning property is not what the ministry is all about. It's all about helping people. Being the big church in town, or the big church in the state, or on the coast, that's really not what it's all about. That's not what will make the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church special. What will make this place special is that people know we help people here. You see, hosting three national conferences a year, that's not so hot. Helping people is what those conferences are really all about. Having fancy pews are fine, but helping people are what those pews are all about. Fancy chandeliers, that's rich, that's nice. I'm glad for that. But I'd rather have candles and help people than have a chandeliers and have a cold, dry church. A big choir, it's exciting. I love to hear our choir sing. God bless you, choir. All the hard work they put in. But having a bunch of people set in the platform here behind me, having a big choir is not what the ministry's all about. It's all about helping people. We have some marvelous attendances around here. I mean, we're just at that point of 1,000 in Sunday school on a regular basis, and you say, wow, that's exciting. Let me tell you what Sunday school's all about. It's not all about the number. It's all about helping people. All those things that I just listed, all of them, the pews and the buildings and the property and the money, they're all fine. But that's not what church is all about. And that's not what the ministry's all about. And that's not what your preacher's all about. And that's not what this church is all about. Can you hear them? Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Somebody, please help me. Can you hear them? School employees. Somebody, please help me. Can you hear them, bus captains? You drive up and down the roads of that territory that God's given you. Do you hear them? Somebody, please help me. Can you hear them, deacons? As we serve in the church here, can you hear them as their voices very faintly cry? Somebody, please help me. Can you hear it, church staff? As you're busy about your duties and the administration and the paperwork, do you realize what it's all about? Somebody, please help me. Can you hear it, parents? Somebody, please help me. Can you hear it, those of you that call yourself a friend of the human race? Do you hear it? Do you hear the tears fall upon the ground? Do you hear their voice as it's strained in misery as they say, somebody, please help me. Do you hear it, youth department, as teenagers are dying without Christ? Do you hear it? That teenager that you look at them and they look hard and harsh and mean and distant. Sure they are. And way back in those deep set eyes is somebody's heart that's saying, somebody, please help me. Can you hear it, missions department? As people around the world need Jesus Christ. Can you hear it, soul winner? Can you hear it, Christian? Somebody, please help me. This morning, I announced the title of tonight's sermon, and I said, if you've fallen and you're away from God, come back tonight. I want to help you. I'm just sure as I could be, somebody here tonight came and said, I have to have it. I've got to know who could help me. You see, if you've fallen into sin, this church and this preacher cares about you. You say, but Brother Owens, they got up on the bottle and the liquor. Let me tell you something. I care about the people that the devil messed up on liquor. I care about the grief that you've caused yourself. Now, I'm not happy about the liquor, but I'll tell you this. We love you. You say, Brother Owens, I lied. Let me tell you something. I care about the trust that you have lost and the people that you have hurt. You say, Brother Owens, in a fit of rage, I hurt somebody. Well, listen. I care about you and the embarrassment that you've caused yourself and maybe friendships that have been lost or the one that you hurt. Maybe you say, I've been immoral. Well, I care about the pain that you feel. And I don't want anybody to be immoral, and you folks know it as well as anybody. I preach hard against fornication and adultery and messing around outside of marriage. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people that make mistakes and they do stupid things and they sin. And then they face loneliness. And a feeling of being used and dirty and guilty and shame. Can you hear? You hear the voices from the county jail? Somebody. Care about me. Somebody. I have about a dozen men that are in jail because they messed up their lives. I write them. Send them a little money. Try to buy him a little shampoo. Little soap. Why? I can hear him. Somebody. Somebody, please. Help me. Folks, if it were not for the mercy and the grace of God, it could be me. It could be you. You say, well, it'll never be me. Oh my, you may be next. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can you hear them in your neighborhood? Somebody, somebody, please help me. Can you hear them at your place of employment? Yes, they walk around confidently. Let me tell you why they do the drugs. Let me tell you why they drink the booze. They're hurting and they're mixed up and they're full of pain and confusion. And I look at those faces and I hear the heart cry, somebody, somebody, please help me. You see, I understand that self-inflicted pain is still pain. I mean, when somebody hurts themselves, the loneliness is still there. When somebody hurts themselves, the misery is still there. You say, they should have known better. Folks, we should have all known better. Sure, they should have known better. Sure, they did it to themselves. But somebody's got to love them even if they did it to themselves. And you have done it to yourself before. And when you're the one, you will not become the target of our wrath, but the object of our love. Very simply, for a few minutes, let me tell you what you need to do if you've fallen. I'm going to just tell you what you need to do to help get you back on your feet. Now, folks, I spend time with fallen people. This won't be deep theology. It'll be simple solution from experience and from God to help you if you've fallen. And you don't know who's fallen. You don't know who you set in front of or beside. You don't know who here tonight has fallen. Let me tell you this. First of all, you're just going to have to face it. If you've fallen, it happened. Face it. Face it. Don't waste your time denying it. Don't waste healing time denying your fall. You believed the devil's lie. No matter how humiliating, you need to go ahead and face it. Go ahead and admit it. If you blew it, just admit it. But don't spend a bunch of time wasting your time justifying your fall. Just say, I did it. I did it. I did it. I'm guilty. You never thought it would happen to you. But it did. It happened. Face it. Face it. I promise you, if you'll face it, you can get on with your life. See, you thought you were stronger than that. You said, well, I didn't need to follow that rule, and I didn't need that guideline, because I was stronger than that. Now you've made a mistake. Face it. You thought that only happens to everybody else, not to me. And now, you are an everybody else. It happened. Face it. Face it. That's where we've got to start. You've just got to face it and say, okay, it happened. It happened to me. We're not going to get on with this thing of salvaging your life until you can face it. My wife's dog, most people would say our dog. She's my wife's dog. Pupcake. That ornery rascal. When Pupcake does wrong, she'll run and hide behind the couch and pull the curtain around her. Pupcake knows she's not to take food. Mrs. Owens and I have a love seat that we sit on. On either side of the love seat, we have a little end table, and we might get a snack or something and on a plate, and I'll put mine on my end table. Mrs. Owens will put her plate on her end table. You know that dog will not touch Mrs. Owens' snack when we're out of the room. Pupcake will eat my snack every time. Pupcake will eat my, with Mrs. Owens and I, we might go out on the back porch for a little while, leave a cookie on both end tables, I'll come in, mine's gone. Pupcake will look at me, look at the couch. She runs behind the couch and pulls the curtain around her. Right away. Let me ask you something. Behind what are you hiding? Somebody here's fallen. You're hiding. You're hiding. You're not getting on with your life. You're not getting this thing straightened out so you can go on and do something for God. Come out of hiding and let's rebuild your life. And you say, what's it going to take? You're going to have to look at your sin and say, okay, God, I did it and I'm guilty and I'm sorry, but I want to get on with this thing. But don't spend the rest of your life hiding. There are people that hide from the reality of their mistake. And you won't get busy healing if you do that. So, I say to you, number one, face it. It happened. Number two, if it happened, you can't change it. And you need to accept that. You can't change it. Don't dwell, then, on what you can't change. Face it. It happened. You can't take it back. You can't change what happened. If it happened an hour ago, it happened. A day ago, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. There are people in this congregation, you did something stupid and messed up your life 10 years ago, and it's still messing with your Christianity. It's still messing with your confidence. You can't change the past, but you can change the now. And you can change the future if you can leave that past where it belongs. Folks, don't keep talking to everybody about the stupid thing you did 2 months ago. Just let it die. We've got to get past it. You need to say, okay, it happened. Now, I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. So I'm going to go on. Don't keep talking about it to yourself. Look, if you got that thing squared away with the Lord and you admitted it and took it to Him, you leave it there. Take your burden and your sin to the Lord and leave it there. You keep talking to yourself about it. Say, I wish it wouldn't have happened. Well, it did. Say, well, I wish I wouldn't have done it. Well, you did. Bros, what am I going to do? Forget it and go on. Some of your sins are really too sinful for you to rehearse in your mind. Stop thinking about the immorality that you committed. That's a bad picture to be looking at. Stop thinking about that bad situation, that person that you injured. Don't think about it. Just look at what happened. Learn your lesson and go on for God. Listen, I'll tell you this. God will listen to you talk about your fall, all that you want to talk about it, but the moment you take it to Him and ask Him to forgive you and He will forget. You can take it to Him one time and in sincerity of heart and repentance, you can go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He does. When you come back and you say, God, about that sin, He'll say, what sin are you talking about? I already forgave it. But you hit that thing over and over and over again and you're driving yourself in the ground. Look, it happened. You can't change it. Some say, I would give anything to be able to relive one day or one night. It's not going to happen. I can't recall time from yesterday, but you can revive today. It happened. You can't change it. Thirdly, let your fall train you so you don't fall again. Let your fall train you. So you don't fall again. Hey, get some good out of your sin. Learn a lesson about Satan. Learn how Satan lies. He's even a good enough liar to get you. You know, we get to think that we're pretty smart. You know, we're the exception to the rule. I know that sin would take others down, but not me. Now I've got you. No, nobody's the exception to the rule. Nobody. And about the time you think, well, it's never going to happen to me, then you'll get the pregnancy test and figure out it will happen to you. Learn about sin's progression. See, let your fall train you so you don't fall again. Learn about the progression of sin. Learn how temptation has a process. Let your sinful fall educate you to the devil's strategy. I read a drunk's testimony. He said, well, I'm talking about a drunk. He said, here's how it went. At first, I laughed at jokes about booze. Never drank it. Then I went with my friends when they drank. Didn't drink it. Then, I thought maybe if I just put one in my hands so I didn't look rude. I never drank it. Then I thought, You know, something with a low alcohol content, a little cheap wine or beer, you know, just a few sips. So I get in. Then I go out with the guys after work and have one beer. Then I pick up a six-pack. Then a 12-pack. Then a case. Then I start having a beer with my lunch. Then I start having a beer in the morning to knock off the hangover from the night before. Then I realized I was drunk. Then I went on to other drugs and other things. Folks, let's learn. Let's learn. If we fall, then let's make sure that we understand and we learn something from it. Look, if we're going to fall, and we all fall at one way, at one time or another, everybody makes mistakes. But if we make a mistake and we don't learn from it, that's pretty dumb of us. Let's learn from the mistake. Missing church is the same way. You'll fall out of church the same way. I mean, it's one little one here, and then another little one here, and before long, it doesn't bother you, miss a couple services, and, you know, you used to be at everything, and then most everything, and then part of the things, and before long, if I can get by the church down there, I'll go by. You know, very few people just jump into a sinful mess. They slowly move into it. Now, some of you who have fallen, somebody that's down right now, and you say, I'm going to get back up, you better take a good long look at what's got you there and don't go back down that road again. Face it, you went the wrong way. Now learn from it. Your sin could help you to make it, or your sin could help to make you, or if you don't learn from it, it will permanently break you. Your sin could make you into a better Christian, or if you don't learn from it, it will break you down, and you'll never be the Christian you ought to be. So you see, I think the first thing we ought to do is just realize it happened. Face it. And you can't change it. You can't take it back. Now look at your sin. Look at what got you in this mess. Study it long enough to learn from it so you don't go back to the same hog trough of the world. Speaking of helping others, a preacher's walking down the street one day when he notices a very small boy trying to press a doorbell on a house across the street. However, the boy is very small and the doorbell is too high for him to reach. After watching the boy's efforts for some time, the preacher moves closer to the boy's position. He steps smartly across the street, walks up behind the little fella, and placing his hand kindly on the child's shoulder, leans over and gives the doorbell a good solid ring. Crouching down to the child's level, the preacher smiles benevolently and asks, "And now what, my little man?" To which the little boy replies, "Now run, mister, run!" It's a little helping hand, amen. It happened. You can't change it. Learn from it. Number four, your only chance for a good future is to go on doing right and forget about your failure. Remember, I've already told you to learn from it. But your chance now to do something with the rest of your life is to put that thing behind you and march on for God. Forget it and go on. You can still have a good future. Waste none of your valuable life now, allowing that sin and its hurt to linger. Tell yourself, my only chance is to do right and move on. Now the devil will come and lie to you about this one. The devil will lie to you and say, this sin is the one that's going to destroy your chance of happiness. He's a liar. Hey, look. The one that now you formed a habit and you're drinking and you shouldn't be. The devil comes to you and says, "Well, you'll never be happy. You've marked yourself." The devil is a liar. You can rebuild your life. You can do right. You say, "Brother Owens, I committed that scarlet sin of adultery." The devil will come and he'll say, "No chance. You can't be salvaged. You can't do right." Yes, you can. Get up. Get it right. Do right from here on out. You say, Brother Owens, I went back. I used to be a druggie. And I got saved and I was straightened up my life and I went out and I partied again. What am I going to do? I tell you, what you're going to have to do, you may have to say, okay, I did it and I can't change it. Now I'm going to learn from it. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to go on. I will serve God again. Hey, Max Flitton Christian, the devil's a liar. He'll come to you. You know, you ever committed that sin that the devil comes and says, that's it, you're done. It's over. You've blown it. You'll never be used. You'll never be used again. Those church people won't accept you. You can't ever be a Sunday school teacher. You can't ever do anything for God. Folks, you hear me say it all the time, but as long as you're still sucking air, that means God has a purpose for your life. If you are alive, God will use you again. We may not all get to do anything that we want to do, but we will all get to do anything God wants us to do. And if you're alive, and you're alive for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve our Savior, and if you fell, get up and be used again. You see, the only chance for a good future is just started. You have your whole life ahead of you. You may have lost the battle, but you've not lost the war. And some of you Pharisees, you let them come back to God. Some husband here, you need to let your wife come back to God. Some wife here, you need to let your husband come back to God. Some parent here, you need to let your child come back to God. That holier-than-thou attitude, where like you say, well, I would never go do that. Oh my, how arrogant. The devil plays head games with you, though, you see. He tries to psych you out. He tries to get you convinced. This is it. It's over. It's over. Run from the church. Run from the preacher. Run from God. Go on. Go ahead and live it up in the world. You don't have anything else left anyway. You can't come back. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can come back. I have a friend, and had a nice house, a really nice house. Had a lot of nice things in it. Had some money. But he was petrified that people were going to break into his house and steal things, especially when he was gone and traveling. He didn't like having a dog in the house, like Pupcake. So he didn't want a watchdog. And then he got this idea. He got a recording of a pack of dogs. I think he told me Dobermans. He hooked it up to his doorbell and an alarm system, and it was motion sensor. So you came around, all of a sudden this recording came on. I mean, these dogs just went crazy. He said, I'll tell you what, it scared everybody to death. He said there'd be people at the end of the lane, they'd come up and try to approach the house, and that old recording would go off, and they'd run to the end of the lane. He said there were not even any dogs. Can I tell you something, backslidden one? When you backslide and you start heading back toward God, the barking of the devil starts. You see, the devil will bark to scare you, but let me tell you something. When you want to come back to God and you've got your eyes on God, his bark is worse than his bite. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what the devil will do, you'll start coming back toward God and the old motion-sensitive recording will go off and the old devil will start barking at you, saying, you can't make it, you can't make it, you can't make it. Nobody wants you. God can't use you. Just go ahead and stay in the world. Let me tell you something. You can make it. Don't let the devil's dog psych you out. Come on back to God. Get it straightened out. See, you need to put what's behind you, behind you. Now just go serve God. And so, as I have helped people, counseled people, and helped to rebuild lives, I often help them through a little process. I tell them, you're going to have to face it. It happened. You're guilty. Then I tell them, we can't change it. We can't change it. We can mourn about it all you want, but we can't change it. Let's not waste good healing time mourning what's already happened. Then I say, let's learn a lesson from it. Let's learn how we ended up where we were at, and we will never end up there again with the grace of God. Then I say, Your only chance for a good future is to go on and forget about your failure. Leave it behind you and go on and serve God. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing, and I wish we'd all remember it. If you've ever fallen, and you with God's help and the help of others have made it back to a life of usefulness for God, may I ask you to do us a favor. Now, love others who have fallen. Love others who have fallen. I don't know how to describe this, and I'm going to fail at it. But there are some people who have never gone into what we'd call deep sin, who show very little compassion on someone who has. And I've watched many of those people fall into sin, mess up their lives so they could be trained on how to be patient with people who have fallen. Those of you that are so hard on people that make mistakes and sin, I just want to warn you, you've got a bad attitude. Did you know that God could step back and withdraw a little grace and protection from you? You could go down if you need to learn the hard way. What I'd recommend is you've never been out there. You've never been at the bottom of the scum pile of the world. You better ask God to give you a love and a compassion for the people that have been there. Because there is a way for you to understand how they feel. Experience is not the best teacher, but it is a teacher. Those of you who have fallen and somehow God helped you get back up, let's form a mighty army of people who love and care and rebuild the fallen, because somebody rebuilt and loved us. You see, it happened. Face it. You can't change it. Learn your lesson and go on. Don't let the devil psych you out and keep you away from God. And then love others who have fallen. If you're not saved tonight, let me say that all men are fallen. Face it. You're a sinner. You personally can't change your condition. Learn the lesson. Jesus saves. And you will with great pleasure be able to sing after salvation, "Love lifted me." Because this fallen man lies on the floor in the bedpan of the filth of the human race, Jesus enters the picture. And he says, "I can help you up." That's what salvation does, and that's what salvation is. So if you're not saved tonight, you've got to get saved. If you're a sinner tonight, which we all are, we better remember this sermon. Because if you don't desperately need it for yourself tonight, you may. But if you don't desperately need it for yourself tonight, somebody needs you to have it for them. Folks, I want a pure church. I want a holy church. I want a church of godly people. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't mess up and sin? But I'm sorry. We're going to. So while we strive for personal righteousness, let's help each other when we fall. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.